Africa. And I think that if you are the most beautiful country in Africa, you stand a chance to compete on the world scene. I think Uganda stands out. If they ranked beautiful countries across the world, Uganda would stand out as one of the top beautiful countries. Winston Churchill, once the Prime Minister of England, came over to Uganda and he said, he's the one who coined the phrase, the Pearl of Africa. He said, from end to end, it is green and lush all year round, and this is true. Because Uganda is green and lush. A lot of people have the impression that Africa is a desert. It's dry. It's not dry in Uganda. It's green and lush all year round. The most beautiful country. I believe that there is not a place in the world that God created and said it's going to be poor. I don't think that there is a poor country in the world, but there is poor people in the world. So Uganda is not a poor country, but it's got poor people. As a nation. Because when God finished creating the universe, he said it was good. He did not say, oh, Africa is bad. You know? He said it is good. He said it is good. When he finished creation, he said it is good. Now, I have a message for you this morning. I was wondering, God, what do you want me to share? All the way from Uganda to Australia. It's such a long way to come here. Such a long way. I had to leave Entebbe, which is our airport, and then fly into Dubai, and then from Dubai fly into Kuala Lumpur, and then from Kuala Lumpur fly into Melbourne, and then fly from Melbourne into Brisbane. I mean, it's like the ends of the earth. It's a long way. But it's always exciting to come to Australia. I always feel like I'm at home. It's like my second home. And one of the reasons I feel like Australia is my second home is your names are so familiar. We went to Western Australia and found a place called Mullaloo. Now, Mullaloo in Uganda means you are crazy in one of our languages. I thought I'd find some crazy people like us in Mullaloo. And you have some of the most crazy names. When I saw that, I felt like, oh, look at this. We are actually at home. This is like home, you know. There's some Mullaloo people in this country. Yeah. So the message I have for you this morning that I feel God wants me to share, and it could be for someone here, is very simple. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And whether you like it or not, he loves you. Whether you believe it or not, he loves you. Jesus loves you this morning. That is the message I'd like to share with you. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of Uganda. He's the hope of Africa. He is the hope of Australia. I'd like to share some scriptures with you. And we'll start off from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I hope it's going to show up there. And usually what we do in Uganda is we read the scriptures together. Now, before I continue, I'd like to just pause and pray. Is that all right? All right. Heavenly Father, I just invite your presence right now. I invite the power of your Holy Spirit that we just minister in this place today. Father, I just pray for utterance. I pray for your, just have your way in this place this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's read it together, if that's all right. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Next slide, please. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. When I used to read that scripture, I used to think, good news to the poor. And I was wondering, okay, well, poor, because, you know, we're the poor guys. I was a poor guy. I was born in a very impoverished family. For a long time, I went to school without shoes. I used to walk around with no shoes. So I'm very privileged to be able to wear some shoes today. And for a long time, we almost had no food at the house. My parents were teachers. When you're a teacher in Africa, you have nothing. When you're a teacher in Australia, you know, you have a reasonable income. In Uganda, you have absolutely nothing. And so we grew up on nothing. When I was 8 years old, I started sailing. chapatis. Now, chapatis, the closest thing to chapati is a tortilla here that you have. And I used to sell that from 8 years old, just carry it on my head to come out to try and get some income for the family. That's what I did when I started doing that at 8 years old. And so I used to think, good news for the poor. I thought the good news was for me, a poor man who had nothing, who grew up in a poor family. And I thought that's what Jesus meant. But over time, God has been teaching me that the word poor does not necessarily refer to poverty in terms of financial poverty. He was referring to a completely different kind of poverty. The good news he was bringing to the world was not for people who lack money or lack property, but people who lack spiritual wealth, people who lack God in their lives. That, because absolute poverty is not in what you don't have, it's in who you don't have. If you don't have Jesus, you're absolutely poor. It doesn't matter what kind of property you have in your life, you are absolutely poor without Jesus. And so he's been changing my perspective on what he meant by good news to the poor. Good news to the poor, because he came to help us know what real wealth is. Real wealth is not in what you have, it is in who you are in God. All right, we'll continue. Jesus is good news to the poor. He is good news to the world. It says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, in Psalms chapter 32, verse 1. One of life's greatest pleasures is for one to know that they have been pardoned, forgiven a crime so big it warranted serious punishment, punishable repercussions. A debt that could not be paid but has been paid. All your bills are covered, not just for last month or last week, but for life. Isn't that the good news?
Yeah.
Now, what would it be like for you if you got up one morning and they told you all your bills are covered for life? Hey, you're just going to live at the house. Electricity, water, everything has been paid for. What would you do? You would say, ooh, like somebody just over there. Now, why don't we say, ooh, when Jesus says, I have sorted you out. You're covered for life. You are covered for life. You were covered because Jesus is better than your bills. Better than, more than your bills being paid, more than everything that you require in your life being sorted, Jesus is more than that. And that is the good news. That is the good news. It says in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. It doesn't talk about blessed is a man who's got a car or a house or who's got some money in the pocket. It says the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is that man whose sins are forgiven. And if we can carry on, I just want to quote another scripture up here. Can we, next slide, please. Now, in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 4 to 22, David talks about, these are his thoughts, and I'd like us to read it together. Let's read it together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord had him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Test and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I'll stop right there for a minute. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Then he continues and says, this poor man called and the Lord had him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Now, David was not a poor man financially, was he? He was not. This poor man called and the Lord had him. And he delivered him from all his troubles. From all his troubles. What are the troubles? What are the troubles that we're facing today? We're facing disease. The thing is, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, you still get sick. We agree? You still get sick. You might drive down the road and have an accident, and then you have to sort out, maybe break a limb or something. God forbid, that should not happen. But it can happen. He delivered me from all, out of all his troubles. This poor man called, and the Lord had him. He saved him out of all his troubles. I believe that the poor people that God, that Jesus was talking about, good news to the poor, were the people who are hurting, people who are lonely, people who are depressed, people who just can't seem to find a purpose in life. And I've been around the world where I used to travel with the Watoto Choir, and I've been to lots of countries around the world. Now, for a poor boy, that is just a miracle. And I'm still amazed at the fact that I can come here today. But I think that in life, no matter where you live or what you have in your life, there's a few basic things that you need. One is you want to know that you're loved. Two, you want to know that there's a future for you. Three, you want to know that you belong somewhere, that someone's got your back, that no matter what happens, there's someone who's going to say, hey, I support you. When everyone says, hey, you're good for nothing, someone's going to say, hey, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You was one of a kind. You were beautiful. You were amazing. I believe that this is the good news to the poor that Jesus came to bring to the world. The good news to the poor. It wasn't material wealth or material luck. It was heavenly wealth. A sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, a sense of belonging in your life. This poor man called. And so if you are lonely and feeling depressed and feeling completely, you know, just out of this world, feeling rejected, that is the kind of poverty God says, I have come to sort this out. You are accepted. You are a sinner. You have failed. You've done everything wrong, but you are still accepted. You are accepted. That's the kind of wealth. And your acceptance is not based on what you have done. It's based on what my son Jesus has done at the cross. And all you have to do is just believe and receive. That is the kind of wealth that Jesus comes to bring. It's the good news to the poor. That is the good news that I believe Jesus came to bring. Praise God. Give him a clap. Hallelujah. All right, we'll continue reading that. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. Okay, we'll continue. Next slide, please. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. There it is again, delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. All right. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. No one. This is why I believe that Christ came to preach good news to the poor, that there will be, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe that as Christians, and I've observed this over my life as a Christian, is sometimes as a Christian, we think that God wants us to do certain things. He says, come and do this. There's the Ten Commandments which say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy, you know, it continues, and love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes we follow that and we think that we have to do that in order to be on the good side with God. And God says that I have sent my son, Jesus, who is good news to you. And regardless that you fail in any of these, it's no longer thou shalt not in terms of please try as much as you can. It is thou shalt not because Jesus has said you shall not. So you're not guilty anymore. You get that? You're not guilty anymore. So it's no longer thou shalt not as in a command, but it's thou shalt not as a promise. Because Jesus, my son, has sorted it out for you. It's done. That is the good news that I believe that Jesus came to bring to the world. A world that was depraved and poor spiritually has lost the eternal perspective. Because through the one man, Adam, who showed up, He was deceived by the devil, and so we lost. We lost our fellowship with God. We lost a blissful, powerful, beautiful, passionate relationship with the creator of the universe. We lost it. Adam failed. And then God said, all right, I'll restore this thing. I'll send Jesus to the world, and he's going to sort it out. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be embarrassed. He's going to be ashamed. They're going to do all sorts of things to him, but it's because I want my people back. And when Jesus went to the cross and he finished and said, it is finished, he sorted it. So we're not trying to be right with God anymore. We are not. It's already sorted. Jesus said, I have sorted it. All you have to do is believe and come in faith. Believe that I am enough for you. I am sufficient for you. Amen. That is the good news, I believe. That is the good news. All right, we'll carry on to the next slide. Jesus is freedom to the world. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Because sometimes as Christians, we're carrying our burdens with us. We are carrying our burdens. And we think that, like I said, we must do something in order for us to be okay, in order to be set free. I'll do this and God will do that. Now, it doesn't mean that I should not go to work tomorrow, because I should go to work. God blesses the work of my hands. But when it comes to spiritual things, you are sorted. Okay. And I just put some notes up there. Prison is so much more than walls and metal bars. True freedom comes from knowing you are loved and you are forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. From Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. My yoke is easy. Christianity is nothing but an exchanged life. I give God who I am, and he gives me who he is. Now, that's so unfair. If you talk about unbalanced trade, that is completely unbalanced. Because I take this flesh that fails all the time, and then I give him, and he gives me perfection. And so the thing is, I don't stand here and say that I'm perfect because, oh, I'm going to fail the next minute, the next second, but I am perfect by faith in Jesus Christ. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that is freedom. That is freedom in knowing that I am perfect not because I do good or I do right things all the time, but because Jesus is perfect. All right, I'll carry on. Next point, please. Jesus is deliverance. Okay, now one thing amazes me about John the Baptist in the Bible. John the Baptist declares, oh, this is the Messiah. He is greater than me. You know, he has surpassed me, you know. And, you know, even his sandals are not worthy to carry. And, you know, and he's telling all of these things about Jesus. But then later on he's saying, because he hears about what Jesus is doing, he goes to a wedding and performs miracles, people drink wine and they get drunk, and then he starts to doubt, but is that really, you know, like the Messiah will go out to a party, you know, people get drunk, he just gives them wine, I mean, what's that? He was expecting, so he starts to think, maybe it's somebody else, so he sends his disciples to go find out, are you the one or should we expect somebody else? Now, he had already baptized the Messiah, what's he sending somebody to ask for, you know? Because he could not understand who Jesus was. Jesus came in to bring freedom. So that you are not controlled by what you do, but you are controlled by what you believe. No longer. Okay. Deliverance. Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Because here's Jesus, he's going out and drinking with people, hanging out with tax collectors, but at the same time, he's performing miracles. So John is like, hey, man, you hang out with the right people for you to walk in the power of God. You know? You're hanging out with tax collectors, you're hanging out with this, and then Jesus says, the reason that I came was to actually set the tax collector free from his sin. Yeah. The reason that I came was to set the blind man to give him sight. Now, we all understand, Jesus also said that they have eyes, but they do not see. They have eyes, but they do not see. So he came to illuminate our the eyes of our hearts. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, Paul says, when he's talking to the Ephesians, now it's not up there, but if you can write it down, you can read it later. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, he says, I pray for you that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, the same power that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. That your eyes, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened. Jesus came to deliver us from spiritual blindness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. Lord, you're worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He came to deliver us from spiritual blindness. He came to deliver us from spiritual lameness. Because you could be as normal as anything, but you're still lame. You're still lame on the inside. He came to deliver us from such things. This is why Christ came, to deliver us from such things. Okay, raise up, the poor have the gospel. You see, the thing is, he says that as the last thing, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Because you see, the poor, the lame guys, the deaf, the dead who are raised, the living dead, you know? There's a living dead. You heard of those people? Yeah. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is he who is not offended because of my mandate. Blessed is he who is going to receive me as I can. Blessed is he who is going to take me as I come. Next slide, please. Okay. The year of the Lord's favor. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus said at the end of what we read this morning, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In the book of John, chapter 1, it says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Through him we have received grace upon grace. We're no longer trying to earn our way with God. We are not trying to be right with him, for we have already been made right. We have already been made right. So Jesus first lists, this was actually the first time he shows up in the synagogue to preach. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and the captives. That's what he says. And so we are no longer trying to earn our way with God. We're not trying to be right with him, for we have already been made right with God. Next slide, please. All right. I like to make right quotations. You know, I'm on Facebook and I just get thoughts and I just write my thoughts sometimes on Facebook and I share what I think God is, you know, wanting me to share sometimes. And this is one of my quotes one day. The Son of God was born in a manger, in a kraal, in seeming poverty, so he could identify with the least of these. You know why he was born in a kraal? Why would, if you were the richest man in Brisbane, why would you take your son to a farm where there's cows to have your child born there? I mean, what would you do that? Would you, I mean, you would be crazy if you lived in Brisbane and your wife is having a child and then you took the child to, would you think that's a normal man? You would not. But here's God. He created the entire universe and he owns it. Psalms chapter 24 says the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. It is his. But he chose to take his Mary to have his son born in some funny place where there was cow poop. You know, that's where his son was born. I think that he did that so he could demonstrate to the world what real wealth and riches are. Okay, that's the only way he could be the hope of the world. Because you see, from the least of these to the best of these, everyone was included. Because you remember that kings came to visit him at the kraal. And what did they bring? They brought the most precious things you can find in the world. Gold, myrrh, incense, all that. They brought it to a kraal where there's cow poop. Now, you don't take stuff like that to people in a kraal, do you? But they brought it to this man, to this baby in a kraal. And God was saying that it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter who you are, I can meet you where you are. I can meet you where you are. And a lot of times we're in a crowd, not physically, but emotionally sometimes. Things are just tossing us around, and you're in a crowd. There's cow poop all over. And God says, I want to meet you right there. I'm going to bring my gold right there. I'm going to bring my incense and myrrh right there where you are. I want to meet you right where you are, right there. I believe this is the good news to the world. This is the good news to the world. All right, I have a few other notes up there. What else is there? God's heart is with the list of these. And the thing is, it doesn't take long for you to realize that we are the list of these. Because we're always thinking the list of these is the poor people in Africa, in Asia, or wherever. Those are the list. They're not the list of these. The list of these is me when I'm spiritually poor and I don't understand the things of God. Yeah. When I am hopeless, I don't have a purpose in life, I am the list of these. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going, I am the list of these. Jeremiah 29:11, everybody quotes that. It says, these are the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. That is God's plan for humanity. And I just put some notes up there. The poor, the brokenhearted, the sick, the prisoner, the despised, the underprivileged, the hungry. And we're not talking about physical hunger. We're not talking about physical prison, like I said. We're not talking about physical sickness, although it includes physical sickness. Jesus came to deliver us. Everywhere that he went, it says, everywhere that he went, he healed them. The scripture says he healed them. Everywhere that he went, he healed them. He delivered them from physical. But his target was not so much physical. That is why sometimes you can pray for healing and pray for it for 5 years, for 6 years, and it doesn't happen, because God is more interested in what's inside of you than what is in this thing called the flesh. It's a tent. This is a tent that just carries us around. It's going to fade away. He's more interested in the spirit. What is inside your spirit? That is what I came to heal first. If I can heal that, I can heal everything else. I can take care of everything else. And so God wants to capture our heart first. If I can capture your heart, I have got you captured. And I can sort out everything else. It's just a matter of time. This morning, like I said, I started off and said, one particular message that I felt God wanted me to share was that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And there is nothing that you can ever do in your life that will stop Jesus from loving you. There's nothing that you have ever done in your life that can stop Christ Jesus from loving you. He has already given you all the gold, all the myrrh, all the incense, and every good thing. You just have to take it. You just have to receive it. You just have to receive it. A lot of times we're not receiving the grace of God because we feel like, oh, I did this, I did that, I did this yesterday. Oh, I talked so bad with my neighbor and I did this and I did that. And then, of course, we have the enemy, who is the devil, who comes and says, yeah, you did that. You did it. And you did it. And you're guilty. And yeah. And then you go through cycles of guilt, perpetual guilt. That's the devil that wants to perpetuate guilt in your life. Jesus says, I sorted it out. It is sorted. It doesn't matter whether it happened yesterday or the last minute. It is sorted. It is finished. It is absolutely finished. There is therefore now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the thing is, you cannot experience the joy and the peace. Let me tell you, the greatest joy in the world is not in having anything. It is in having Christ and understanding that God, who God is in your life. That is the greatest joy you can ever have. It is to understand who Christ is in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the greatest gift you can ever have in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, from this understanding that we've gone through, Jesus came to set the prisoner free, to preach good news to the poor. And the poor is not necessarily what you have or don't have. It is who you don't have. In the background of this, I would like to just pose a challenge this morning. Someone could be here and they come to church. You come to church every Sunday and you haven't really started this amazing journey. You haven't gotten to a point where you made a commitment to say, Jesus, I would like you to be the Lord of my life. You haven't made a commitment. You haven't said, I am poor. You haven't acknowledged it, that you are poor and in need of a Savior. And maybe you're here this morning and, you know, you're having some troubles. You feel lonely, you know. Maybe you feel rejected and heartbroken. And you're feeling like, where is God? Does God exist? Let me tell you this morning, God does exist. God does exist. And He loves you with a passion, with an everlasting love. It is an unstoppable love. It won't stop because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on Him. That's why it's unstoppable. You cannot stop it because it does not depend on what you do or don't do. It depends on Him. And so this morning you're here and you haven't joined. You haven't entered this love. You're not, you know, you're troubled and you're wondering, oh God, is there a God? Or, you know, what's my future? What's my life? Where am I going? This morning, we would like to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to this man. Because you see, the only way you're going to walk in the purposes of God is by acknowledging that He is the Lord of your life. It is you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that He is Lord of your life. The only way to walk in the promises of God is by believing. You just believe. You just make a confession and you believe. You just make a confession and you believe in your heart. So this morning I'd like to pose a challenge. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to pose a challenge. May I ask the band to come up here, please?